Robert, welcome to WEMU.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's just a... We've never done a face-to-face thing live on the air.
I don't think so.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
This is our first time.
All right.
It feels good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it already.
And that's as deep as we'll go on that level. It feels good. Your music makes me feel good, and I'm sure it makes WEMU listeners feel good. So let's before we get to the history, let's talk about the Robert Hurst zone, the vibes, the energy that you create, the feel good thing, the Robert Hurst zone.
Well, you know, my zone was very, very much created by this area. The geographical region has made me the person that I am. This has created the vision and kind of the lens that I see music through. And my music is, you know, I like to be influenced by lots of different things. But the first influence that I had was here in Motown and hearing the musicians around here. And that's kind of created the Robert Hurst zone, as well as you know, I mean, just being back here. I've been back about 5 years, you know, and teaching at the University of Michigan here in Ann Arbor. Go Blue! I know this is EMU. Go Green too.
It's all right. It's okay.
But you know, I've just been enjoying reconnecting with the city, and it feels like an old slipper just coming back home, and it's so great to be around you again, and to be around a family and musical family, as well as my natural family. So.
But that Robert Hurst zone, also, it's something that came through when you were on camera as a member of the Tonight Show band. You just glowed up.
That's nerve-wracking work, being on camera. You know, I'm used to just being seen. I mean, just being heard, you know. So being seen as well, it was a new, you know, a new adventure for me. But it was a great time. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing that. I learned so much about music and life and just growing up and you know, but I think the West Coast kind of ran its course for me, and it's I feel even more at home, you know, at home.
Yes.
So it's great to be here, and I feel a lot more comfortable. I don't feel like a fish. I feel like a fish that got back in the water. I don't feel like a fish out of water anymore. So.
Oh. Congratulations. Let's talk about that water. There may be something in that water around Michigan. And you alluded to that. And for the uninitiated, you are Robert Hurst III, right?
I am.
Can you talk about Robert Hurst I and Robert Hurst II?
Well, I can. Gladly. My grandfather was a PhD in economics, and he was a administrator and teacher at South Carolina State University. And they actually have the economics building there is named after him, the Robert Hurst building. So that's very cool. And my father was the first African American president here at Michigan Bell. And just his legacy is I could go on and on and on and on, but he was such an inspiration. And you know, we were talking earlier about the Martin Luther King speech, this 50th anniversary of that. You know, my father marched when he was in school at South Carolina State, and I just saw it at my grandparents' house last week. I took it. I'm going to post it today. But he's on the cover of Jet magazine, you know, getting when the police were breaking up the protest, and he's on the cover of that magazine, and my grandparents display it very proudly in their house, and it's so great. I mean, today is just making me think about him a lot, and how proud I am of him and his accomplishments, but also his contribution to the struggle, because he put it on the line, you know, when it wasn't safe to do that, you know, when people were getting sprayed and dogs and beaten and all that kind of stuff. He was part of all of that. And he taught me to respect that. And I feel so, so blessed to be his son.
Oh, wow. Now, so when did your father, relocate or locate to the state of Michigan and begin his work, and of course then begin his family that is now really your roots?
Well, he was born in Mississippi, but he was here as a child. I know he went to elementary school here. I'm not sure exactly how old he was when they moved from Mississippi, but he went to elementary school here, and I'm trying to remember the name of the school, but he actually went to school and was very good friends with two of the Temptations, Melvin Franklin and Richard Street, who just passed, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so he knew them, and he was like always, you know, like the cheering squad, because he couldn't really sing. so but he, you know, they were boys, so he saw them, you know, and they went to Northwestern High School, and he saw, you know, the formation of that group and those guys come together. And when I was a young kid, he would take me to the shows, and that's one of my earliest memories about being around musicians was going backstage. We went to the Elmwood Casino in Windsor, and we saw the Temptations, and we got backstage, and everybody, you know, my parents used to dress me really nice. So, you know, I was a little kid and I had like my nice clothes on, and everybody was like, "Hey, little man." And they, you know, musicians was so nice and so cool with me. And that just made me fall in love with not just music, but musicians as well. Cause it's, you know, it's such a lovely family and such a feeling of family amongst, especially, you know, Detroit musicians. You know, it's where you can be, wherever you are in the world. If you meet another Detroit cat, it's on for the rest of the night. You know, it's love. So yeah, we really enjoyed it.
That is the Robert Hurst zone. I just found it. It's love. It's love. It's love. See, he repeated it like three times. I found the Robert Hurst zone. Robert Hurst is my guest this morning on 89.1. And Robert Hurst has three different performances at the 2013 Detroit Jazz Festival. We'll hype those in a little bit, okay? Yeah, we will. We talked about your grandfather and your father. You grew up in such a rich neighborhood, I understand. And there was all these people coming to your house as a kid that really shaped you as well.
Well, in the neighborhood where I grew up, when we lived in Detroit, I lived right in the city of Detroit until I was nine, and we lived on still between Otter Drive and 8 Mile. So right around there is right down the street from Baker's Keyboard Lounge and Marvin Gaye's house. They said, I never saw him around there, but it was his house where he, you know, when he was still living in Detroit, was there. And Aretha Franklin, the Four Tops were all around, you know, that neighborhood. And it was a great time. And it was, you know, the total 6 degrees of separation, as they say, but it was only about 1 or 2 degrees, you know, in that case. So.
Oh, my gosh. What a way to grow up. And, you know, we will get to Marcus Belgrave, okay,
yeah,
in just a moment. But right now, let's get to something that echoes on that Robert Hurst zone. This one is from Bob, ya head. Here is Comes You, Comes Love. .1 Jazz, Comes You, Comes Love, from Bob Yahead. And again, here comes Robert Hurst on the air this morning with us on 89.1. I'm just having too much fun.
All right, me too.
Robert Hurst, my guest, I had the pleasure of attending a party at your home this past spring, and then you played the 501 Jazz Show for us in I think it was June, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or May. And you brought a tabla player to the group. And I hear that influence, like of tabla and lots of different strains and ethnicities in a song like Comes You, Comes Love. When did you start investigating and discovering these things outside of the Motown roots?
Really, when I became aware of it when I was traveling started traveling to Europe and in different places. With Wynton Marsalis, especially when I was playing with him, Jeff Watts was the drummer, and he was really interested in like African music and Afro-Cuban, you know, Afro-Brazilian musics, and I was too, but I didn't know how to buy the records because, you know, a lot of they were in French, you know, and I didn't know the artists. So I remember we used to go to this Virgin Records back when record stores still existed. We used to go to the Virgin Records on the Champs-Élysées, and they had this whole room of African music, and we would just go, we would spend like our whole tour money at this place. And I started, you know, learning the regional musics of Africa, and as well as, you know, different rhythms that they played in Cuba and Brazil. So I really got interested in that. And I think that's when I moved to California, it seemed to be more people that were in that scene. Then there's a lot of jazz musicians there as well, but as far as the scene was concerned, it was interesting to me, you know. So I met and played with a lot of African musicians, a lot of Brazilian musicians, and really started to cultivate it took me a while to figure out how to incorporate it into my music. I liked it, but it was two separate things. But I think that's on Bobby Head, that's the first record where I really actively try to use those elements, and as well as, you know, we heard on the last conversation, I used voice, and I think that's the first time I'd ever done that on a recording, and I actually wrote the lyrics to that song.
So, you did.
So that's the first time that I'd ever done that. So, you know, that record was really a chance to use some other influences other than just, you know, kind of my Motown stuff and my, you know, traditional jazz roots that most people know me from.
Sure. Well, and that's part of the Robert Hurst zone that we are in right now. Does that understanding and appreciation now of music of other cultures inform your teaching at University of Michigan?
It does, very much, because, you know, we're trying to prepare these young musicians to be successful in the current contemporary music world. And you could go to a jazz, you know, go to a jazz gig. If you're playing with somebody in New York, they might have you playing, you know, anything from you know, clave and Afro-Cuban music to odd meters to African type rhythms. So that all of that's required even under the umbrella of jazz. So we really have to be prepared for that. And you can't really prepare for that by listening to other jazz musicians do it. You know, a lot of people did it really well. Dizzy certainly did it well. You know, so many other cats did it great. But you got to go to the source. You know, if you want to make good pasta, you got to go to Italy. You know, so you got to go to the where it's happening. So I really try to encourage that, and then it informs, you know, your whole sensibility. I think the way you know, John Coltrane certainly, you know, it informed like his modal playing, you know, studying Indian music, and he was so involved that he named his son Ravi after Ravi Shankar.
Sure.
And so seeing that, and hearing the way Elvin Jones incorporated African rhythms even within the swing, under the banner of swinging, you know, in the traditional swing, he used all of those rhythms. So at the end of the day, rhythms are rhythms, notes are notes, and I think, you know, I'm not a big fan of genre lines, you know, so I think, you know, you can use anything just as long as it sounds good.
Yeah. My guest is Robert Hurst, and he today teaches at the University of Michigan. He's an associate professor there. You were taught by one of the greatest jazz teachers on the planet, in the universe. That is Mr. Marcus Belgrave. Let's just wax on the Marcus zone.
Well, I once again, I could go on and on. That's like my second father, really. You know, Marcus. I met Marcus when I was in the 10th grade. He came to my high school and did a clinic. It was a master class for all. I was in school in Rochester, Michigan. It was a master class for all the music students in the Rochester School District. And he came, and I asked my band director, because I knew who he was. Not a lot of the kids knew who he was, but I'd heard him play, you know, many times, you know. But I asked my teacher if I could do a duet with him, and he said, if it's okay with Marcus, it's okay with me. You know, he didn't think Marcus was gonna say yes, but but Marcus said yes, and we played a duet on the concert that evening. We had a master class all day and then a concert in the evening, and we played a duet on that concert. And then from then on, we've just been linked. He asked my parents if I could work that summer. And another shout out to my parents once again for, you know, sitting in all of the clubs, Cafe Detroit and Burt's, you know, till like 2 a.m. when I was a kid, you know, before I could drive. So that was great. And, you know, I'll keep shouting out Marcus for letting me play all those wrong notes and messing up his music, you know, at first. But he was really nice to me, and he's the way he teaches. I'm still trying to get a grasp on it, because I never remember him saying do this or play that or play this is the right note. You know, every now and then he would do that, but it was just by example. And I learned so much about how to make something out of nothing. He could just start something and create, and just his creative sensibility is what I love about him. And we've actually started a duo project. Kind of duo with guest artists, and it involved, you mentioned the tabla player, Naval Singh is his name. He played on a couple of tracks with Marcus and I, and we're talking off air about Pepe Espinoza, the great Cuban percussionist here in the Michigan area. He's going to play on some tracks, and then we're going to do some duo stuff as well. So it's always such a pleasure, and Marcus will be a distinguished guest professor at University of Michigan this whole year. So the students are you know, I feel bad for the students that didn't get a chance to experience, but I feel so happy for the ones that will get a chance to, you know, experience his brilliance and genius and nurturing spirit. You know, so I, you know, Marcus, if you're listening, I love you, brother. You know, let's keep doing it.
Well, you know, we should, you know, do a little commercial or two for your appearances at the Detroit Jazz Festival. And you are going to be part of the Marcus Belgrave homecoming tribute. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I don't exactly know what it is yet, but I know it's going to be really good, you know, because it's a great rhythm section, and you know, everybody is great. So it's going to be a wonderful time, and we'll figure out what it's going to be. But whatever it's going to be, it's going to be good.
Well, I've got it down here. It's Monday, September 2nd at 5:15 p.m. on the Chase main stage.
All right.
Yeah, so that's the one on Woodward, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay. The other appearances that we have are the Robert Hurst Group on Saturday. Let's talk about that one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm using. I feel like I finally kind of honed in on a band, you know, and it's all guys from here except for the drummer, Damian Reed. He's on two other of my earlier CDs, Unrehearsed, and something else. But yeah, we also played together with Robert Glasper's trio, and that was, we were on his very first record. But he's coming in to play with me, and I'm just excited about this lineup with Rick Rowe, Raphael Staton, who's a wonderful, wonderful young saxophonist from Detroit and just killing it, and Pepe and Damian and myself, and we're doing some music from the latest release, Baba Palindrome, and we're doing some earlier stuff, and then we have some brand new stuff that I just wrote. I've been writing a lot this summer, and I just wanted to hear a couple of these tunes that I'd been working on over the summer, and they played them, and it sounded good to me anyway. I hope they really enjoy playing them. So we worked on a couple of those, and they we're going to put those into the lineup, as well as, you know, hope a few other surprises. So.
Okay, bassist Robert Hurst, my guest this morning on 89.1. He will be appearing with that ensemble again. Robert on bass, Rick Rowe piano, Damian Reed drums, Raphael Staton saxophone, Pepe Espinoza. I love to say his name. The percussion percussionist. And while we don't have recording of that ensemble, we do have a recent recording that you made with Rick Rowe and Kareem Riggins.
Yeah, that's my man. I love both of those cats, man. I love those cats. So that was a great recording. Rick played his you-know-what off.
So, he sure did. So this one kind of takes us down to the bebop roots. Here is Dizzy's Digs from Swing Theory by Rick Rowe on 89.1 with Robert Hurst on bass. 89.1 Jazz, and great sounds from pianist Rick Rowe and the trio, Kareem Riggins on drums, on bass, my guest this morning, Robert Hurst, and the piece called Dizzy's Digs. Robert, we've talked about a lot of different influences and Marcus Belgrave. Let's touch on some of those jazz basics, like bebop and swing and Ray Brown and that. Yeah, let's touch on what are some of the things of that whole ilk and what you grew up with that still light up your life today.
Well, jazz-wise, Detroit is very bebop-centric. And, when I was growing, that sounds so old-fashioned. When I was growing up, if you didn't know the bebop classics, you couldn't get on the stage. So I remember very vividly at the Cafe Detroit, I had to be 15 because my parents were there and I couldn't drive. So, but they called this tune called Quasimodo, and it's based on the chord changes to Embraceable You, which I knew neither of, so I started, messing up this song. And I remember Marcus came back. He kept frowning at me. And then he came back and just grabbed the bass and started playing the bass. And I was just standing there. I was just standing there while he played the bass because the stage was so small. I couldn't get off, So, and that was just one of my very, very Detroit defining moments, and saying that you have to learn this stuff or you're just going to embarrass yourself. So I remember, working on that song the next day for several hours and just realizing that, that's where these guys come from. And, just from my experience, in that last recording that you played of Rick Rose, Rick and I played together and Kareem and I played together a lot, but we never really played together as a trio. But I think just our experience in working with, Donald Walden and Marcus and Roy Brooks and Ken Cox, we were able to just come together, and it was just like so easy, the easiest recording I've ever done, So, but we have that in common, and the Detroit cats all have that from, Jerry Allen to Kenny Garrett and all the guys, from back in the day that I mentioned, Charles McPherson, who sounds like himself, but he can play any Fool You for Charlie Parker any day of the week. Larry Smith is the same way, man. They ate off of Charlie Parker's dirty fork. It sounds like, but it's that sensibility is all around. It still is with Raphael Staten and the younger guys, James Carter, Regina Carter. All of those people, even though they're doing different styles of music, they have that bebop sensibility. And really, the way they play rhythm is very Detroitish. It's very, I don't know how else to describe it. I can't think of any other adjectives to really, but it's Detroitish, and it's something that's not just in the jazz. It's in, like, when you hear hip hop, when you hear Eminem, and Jay Dilla and all the Motown music, it has that Detroit feeling to it, just like New Orleans has the same thing and Philly has its own thing, which are, I have to give it up to New Orleans, but, Detroit is like, it's one of the greatest music towns in history, rivaling Austria, Vienna, Austria, and all the great music town, music towns all over the world, so it's I'm so proud to be from here. I'm so proud to represent it, and I want to keep it going.
Yeah, no, and you do represent well, and you're just going to be part of this huge thing at the Detroit Jazz Festival. What are some of your greatest memories? And you've played this thing for years.
Yeah.
What are some of your greatest memories of performing at Detroit Jazz Festivals in the past?
I think my greatest memory, I think the first time I played it was, I was 15, 15 or 16. I played with Marcus and a few other groups. But when I played it, it was right before I went to college, 1982. I remember it had to be 12 gigs on that weekend, that weekend festival. Because they had the Rapper House set that was late. And then Marcus Belgrave and Roy Brooks extended the festival, and they called it the Bellcrest Jazz Festival, and that was happening at the same time. So at the Bellcrest Hotel, so I played there every night with Johnny O'Neill, and then I played with, you know, my high school band. I played with Ken Cox. I played with all these bands, and I can't remember. I think it was around 12 or 13 performances on that weekend, and that was, you know, that's. And I did that, you know, all through college, and that's kind of how I got my college spending change, you know, was playing that festival. And so I have, like, I think, you know, another great memory I have of it is the exchange program when it was called the Montreux Detroit Jazz Festival. That's the first time I went to Europe, was with Marcus Belgrave, when I was right after I graduated high school. And we played the Pori Jazz Festival, we played the Montreux Jazz Festival, and we played the North Sea Jazz Festival. And I just remember, you know, meeting all of these people. And I was really lucky enough the next year to go again with Ken Cox. And I remember at that time, I was playing with Ken Cox, and we were at the Pori Jazz Festival. And Herbie Hancock's group was playing. He had Ron Carter and Tony Williams and Branford and Wynton Marsalis. So I went and heard them. And I remember I had met Wynton and Branford, you know, the year before. I remember Branford had forgotten his shoes, so he wore my shoes on the he wore my shoes on the gig. So he had to go through all, they played outdoors, so he had to go through all of this mud, and he messed up my shoes. But that's another great memory. You know, I could say Herbie Hancock. My shoes played with Herbie Hancock.
Well, have you ever played with Herbie?
Yeah. We've played live a few times, and then we're on a couple recordings. We did a recording I saw here that you have. By the way, Linda has this big, huge pile of records that I've played on, so it's really taking me down memory lane. But we played on this Terry Lynn Carrington project together, and we just played last year on a Chris Bode project together, and whatever his last project is called, I can't remember the name of it. That's shame, but you can Google it really quickly. And,
okay.
but yeah, we played on that together, and then he is really involved in the Thelonious Monk Institute, which when I was in L.A., I did a lot of stuff for. So we got together a few times with that.
Wow, Robert, it has just been just an absolute blast to talk to you today.
Thank you. I feel the same way.
You know, we got to wrap up.
Oh man.
Oh, we didn't get to Paul Chambers. Can we, you know?
Hey, Paul Chambers is the best.
No, come on. You're one of the best. Robert Hurst. But Paul Chambers, the great bassist, he was one of the first people you listened to, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very much so. And that's one of the things about the Detroit jazz family is when I started playing bass and people said, okay, you want to play bass? They said, you got to know all these Detroit guys. So Paul Chambers, Ron Carter, Al McKibben, Ernie Farrow, James Jamerson, Michael Henderson, all these great Detroit bass players. You have to know that history. And that was another thing that formed my sensibility, was just listening to all the Detroit guys.
Oh. Well, we're going to listen to you one more from Bob a Palindrome, and then we have news from NPR. Again, you have three performances at the Detroit Jazz Festival. We mentioned the Robert Hurst appearance on Saturday at 5 p.m. That'll be at the Chase main stage. And then I bet it's going to be a real blast to play with Warren Wolf on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. He's one of the rising young stars, and he's the absolute beast on the vibraphone. He really is.
Yeah. And he's like you in that when you listen to him, you can hear that he knows Mozart, you know? You can hear it. Yeah. And you can hear that he also knows funk and the blues.
Yeah, he's taking care of business.
He really is. Yeah. Just like you, Robert.
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah. And then the Homecoming Band with Marcus Belgrave and company at 5:15 again on that Chase main stage. Congratulations for all those hits at the Detroit Jazz Festival.
All right. Well, thank you.
And congratulations. What's up for University of Michigan and the fall beyond the festival for you, Robert?
Well, we start school next week, so we're starting the auditions. So everybody practice, everybody, you know, get it together. And like I said, you know, Marcus Belgrave will be our distinguished professor this year, and I'm really, really looking forward to having the kids be exposed to his majesty. I had to think of some kind of big word. There's another word, but that's going to be really exciting for all of us. Unfortunately, it'll be Jerry Allen is leaving, going to University of Pittsburgh, which is great for her. She's going to lead the program there after this year. And so we're gonna party like it's 1999 in her last year here at the U of M program.
Okay, yeah. We're gonna miss her.
Yes,
but thanks for letting us know. And WEMU will be part of the celebration of her contribution to jazz studies at the University of Michigan. I should wrap up, but I just, you know, remember the Detroit Salute concert that you and she put on, the University Musical Society presented earlier this year.
That was great.
That was powerful.
Hopefully that can be like I'm putting the vibes in the air. Hopefully that can be like an annual occurrence.
I hope so, too. So, Robert Hurst, one more thing. You should mention your website because it is so cool.
RobertHurst.com or BebopMusic.com. That's my my music label, Bebop Music, because I bebop. And check it out. It's we're still getting it together, but there's a lot of stuff going on there, and it lets you know everything that I'm doing.
All right, Robert Hurst, thank you so much. Here's a little bit of 3-4 Lawrence on 89.1 WEMU and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti, listener-supported public radio from Eastern Michigan University, online at WEMU.org. It is from the disc B.O.B., A Palindrome, and in the next hour, we're going to give away a copy of this disc. Again, Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you.